So I was just thinking about a little bit about the last case from yesterday with the where he says kigon ona, right? See, that's an interesting case. If you when you look into it a little bit, it's different than the other cases. Because the other cases, there's a big rush on it. Maybe we'll do it on Friday. There's a bit the other cases where were cases where it was objectively there was a mistake. Like it's a Mishnah, it's a Sefta, it's a Psak in the Gemara. But the last case where he says, where he asks, Kigon Ona, B'didi v'didach, it's not something that you can prove. It's not objectively a mistake. That was what the Ran, that's the crux of what was bothering the Ran. There's someone in Amora, he was talking about themselves. So they're all later Amoraim. And they're talking about what if one Amora said something and we say something else. So that's not like where the Gemara is a Hilchasa and everybody has to agree with it. It's not like Halacha is like Rav and Din and you know, Issa v'Heter and things like that. It's just it's a question that... you know, Rav Amnuna said something, and I don't know, maybe Ravina said something else. So what's the mistake? That's what the Ram is bothered by. What's the mistake? So one Amora can argue on another Amora. But the thing is, the Ram explains, and the Rush also has like this, that it means that they didn't hear the Memra, they didn't know that the other Amora said it, and when they heard it, they decide that they wouldn't have that they wouldn't have passed in their way, having heard what this Amora said. But you have to realize that they have a choice. They could hear it and say, no, I disagree with it. You understand? It's not an objective mistake. It comes out, it's like a different category already. It's almost like a different category. It's where they say they have the right. In this last question, it's really a question of saying, can I say about myself, can I say about myself, I'm a Toa? Can I render myself a Toa? You understand? Because it's up to the guy. And that's the same thing with the with nowadays. If somebody, let's say somebody paskin the Shaila, and then someone said, well, Moshe Feinstein said the other way. He doesn't have to agree with Rav Moshe Feinstein. You don't have to, right? But if he says, "Oh, if I would have known that this psak was there, I wouldn't have gone against it," then in effect he's rendering himself a toa. You understand? That's the final question. That's the final case. That if a person in that kind of a mistake. That was really his last question about didi v'didach. But you need two things. You need to have that the someone who said it was a person who's not a. That's all that Rav Amnuna was answering him, when he says atu onoi katli kani means that it has to be a mistake. So it has to be that there is a man of stature who said something, and then if I would have known about it, I wouldn't have gone against it. Right, but if it's just a joker who said something, that's not a mistake, because you're not bound by what other people, what just a stam guy says. That's not a position. It doesn't rise to the level of a position. Right. So that was the final chiddush, that in order to be disqualified as a dayan and to be able to say chozer, to disqualify you in terms of this judgment, that's the way we're learning Torah by Mishnah, it means that it doesn't have to be something that objectively we can say that you're making a mistake. It could even be you can be the measure of yourself, and you can say, well, to me, I wouldn't have gone against this, so I consider this to be a big mistake. I consider this to be a mistake. Okay, let's continue now. So now this next case is really an important case. A little confusing, but it's one of those important cases that always comes up in this topic when you're learning this subject. So let's take the case. Now remember, we're working with the idea of Rav Sheshis, that in any Rishon that you see, any sub, anywhere you're going to look for like a psak on or a conclusion or a summary of the topic of this question, this case plays a major role. Okay, so anyway, so we're working with the idea that that the chilik is between Torah and Mishnah versus Shikul Hadas. Okay, that's Rav Sheshis' answer. So now you have a question. Esvei. Esvei, Rav Nuna, Rav Sheshis. Rav Nuna, Rav Sheshis were the ones who were having this conversation the whole time. Right? We changed the Ravina to Ravashi and the Gemara to Rav Nuna to Rav Sheshis. This whole thing was a conversation between Rav Nuna and Rav Sheshis. Okay? So go ahead. So again, so he's asking a question on what? On the idea that the Torah Bidvar Mishnah is Chozer. Okay, so there was a case. So here, so Rashi says, Esvei Rav Hamnuna l'Rav Sheshis. He has Rav Sheshis. The Omar Torah Bidvar Mishnah Chozer. So the whole thing is an introduction. The whole thing is a question. You have to remember, it's a question on the idea that a Torah Bidvar Mishnah is Chozer. Okay, so there was a case. There was a Maisa that happened with a cow whose aim shelah was removed. Okay, it doesn't mean she's an orphan or anything. It means aim shelah means beis harayon. It means the uterus. Okay. Okay. So anyway, so someone came to Rabbi Tarfon with this kind of a cow that had no uterus. And what did he do? Ve'achila Rabbi Tarfon leklavim. And it's not clear what does it mean exactly. Did he do it? Did he tell him to do it? Did the person do it? But basically, bottom line is, Rav Tarfon told him it's a trefa, and the animal was fed to the cows, to the dogs. Okay? Go ahead.
The bar myself.
Right. And so when this story made its way to the Chacham Min Yavne, they were matir. They said no. They were matir, the para shenitla aim shalah. Why? Because
we don't export from Alexandria.
He says, right. He says, no cow or pig left Alexandria of Mitzrayim unless they took out its uterus. Why? Kadesh lo teled. They wanted the corner of the market on these special cows and pigs, right? Lefi shetovos shetovos ain. They were very special cows and pigs. Vain Rotsin Sheyu Mitsuyos Bimkomos Acheros. They didn't want anyone to duplicate them. They didn't want these cows and pigs to be found anywhere else. Vikachazina, so they would remove its ability to reproduce. So every time you want this special cow, you have to go to Alexandria. Right? It's genius. So but anyway, Vikachazina Dimiskaimos. So the plan wouldn't work if all these animals die the minute you do this when you do this to them, right? Maybe work for the first year, but people will stop buying them. So anyway, so the point is, it's an interesting Gemara, interesting Mishnah, because they're saying that a trefa, according to this, means that it's has something that's going to cause it to die. That's basically the definition of trefa. That's basically the idea of trefa. That's basically the idea of trefa. It's an interesting topic because. I mean, Yonah, it's an interesting Gemara, you know? It's a nod to science over here. Maybe. Right. Now, as they're saying, look, we did an experiment. Todos Harofe, this is not a Torah source, right? It's not a Torah source they have over here. But they have this idea that they wanted to know if the animal will live. So they said, look, empirically, there's this practice they have there, and the animals live. So it's not a trefa. Can you use this test on things that we deem already to be trefos? That's already a problem. Like a hole in the esophagus or different things. In other words, is this? I think the plain shot is these kinds of things. There are certain trefos that we have in Lach L'Moshe Sinai. Those are not subject to any kinds of a test. But additional things depend on whether the animal will live or die. Okay? So anyway, so this is one of the additional things. So,
how can you be closer to Midian?
But this is not the end of the story. So that's this is the middle of the story. So now what happened? So Omar Rabbi Tarfon. Right. So he spoke to himself and he said, Tarfon, you just lost your donkey. Right, so how did he lose his donkey? Because he said, I need to sell my donkey to replace the para that the people fed to the animals. In other words, I messed up the psak. Right? I was a ta'a, and I caused the shoel a loss, and I'm responsible. Now, this is what kind of a ta'a is this? This is clearly a ta'a of my Mishnah, because it's a Mishnah he's quoting. Go ahead.
Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, padra lo rabin, padra min l'shalim.
Right, so Rabbi Akiva said to him, don't worry, you're still pater. You're still potter. Why? Because you're a mumcha. They change it to basin. You're a mumcha le basin. And any mumcha le basin is potter. Yeah. Any mumcha le basin. So that's the mic. That's the whole brisa. Okay? That's the brisa. Okay. So now what's the question? Here's the question.
The E.E.S. Chozer.
So if it's true, this is all Rav Muna's question of Sheshes. If you're right, Rav Sheshes, that the Torah of Dvar Mishnah is Chozer, why didn't he just tell him, when Rabbi Tarfon said, I lost my donkey, Rabbi Akiva should have said to him, no, Tarfon, you're a Torah of Dvar Mishnah. Congratulations, you made a really bad mistake. You're lucky. You're a Torah of Dvar Mishnah. And a Torah of Dvar Mishnah is Chozer. Why did he have to tell him you're Potter because you're a Mumchel Beis Din? He should have said you're Potter because you're a Torah of Dvar Mishnah. So he's definitely a Torah B'dvar Mishnah because it's a Stam Mishnah that says this very case and it says Kishera. It's kind of amazing if Tarfon didn't get that right, but okay. And Torah B'dvar Mishnah Chozer. So you should have just undone the din. Okay, so the Rash says, L'kom ampara chocha mai chazor ika harei achi l'klavim. I said, that's a factual problem we have to work out. What do you mean you should have been Chozer? What does that mean, practically speaking? How could he have been Chozer? The cow is gone. It's not like if I paskined that the Yona owes Avi $500 and then it turns out it was a mistake. I could just say, okay, give him back the money. It could be Chozer over there. But if the animal, if the para is eaten, you can't return the para once it's eaten. Okay, anyway. So the Gemara says that that what? The retirement was a Torah B'dvar Mishnah. Yeah. It's a good question over here, Yitzi's asking. Rashi says the Mishnah that he was taught in is the Mishnah, is the Stam Mishnah in Chulin.
But it wasn't
Barilan. Okay. So anyway, so the Gemara says like this. V'i Isa lema le Torah B'dvar Mishnah ata v'Torah B'dvar Mishnah Chozer. Okay, so the Gemara says, Chada v'od kamar. He really said two things. He was telling him two things. He said, "Chada the Torah b'dvar Mishnah ata, the Torah b'dvar Mishnah Chozer." First of all, you're a Torah b'dvar Mishnah, so you would be Chozer anyway. Va'od inami b'shikol adas ta'isa mumcha lebeisin ata v'chola mumcha lebeisin patam l'shalim. But on top of that, even if you would have made a mistake as a mumcha in shikol adas, you still will be pater, because you are a mumcha lebeisin. Rashi, Hochi Kamarle, Rav Amnuna. Oh no, we're not up to that. I'm sorry. Okay. Right. Yeah, Tosis learns all of these cases are talking about smicha. All of these mumchin that we're talking about are talking about smicha. That's the Tosis and Kanba mumcha. Okay. Anyway, but we still have a problem over here. So now the Gemara is like this. So that was the Gemara's. That was Rav Hamnuna's question to Rav Sheshes and Rav Sheshes' answer. So once again, Rav Hamnuna's question was, why did Rabbi Akiva say you're pater because you're a mumcha? Let him say you're pater because you're a Torah b'shik ladas. And Rav Hamnuna said, no. He told him two things. He said, you're pater because it's a Torah b'dvar Mishnah, and even if it was shik ladas, you would be pater because you're a mumcha lebeisin. Okay? But now the Gemara is going back and trying to understand the whole question of Rav Hamnuna to begin with. Right? So the Gemara says like this: Omar of Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rava, my kamosiv Rav Hamnuna l'Rav Sheshes mipara. How did Rav Hamnuna ask this question from the case of the para? Right, we're trying to figure out a question. We're trying to find a case that proves that Rav Hamnuna is asking a question on the idea that a ta'a b'dvar mishnah is chozer, right? So he's looking for a case where, even though it would be a ta'a b'dvar mishnah, it's not chozer. So he says, how could he bring a question from the case of the para? Para hareha achila leklavim, v'leisa detidhar. Now, we have to find a case where it's possible to undo the din. You want to bring me a raya, you want to bring a question about undoing the din. It has to be from a case where the din could have been undone, and it wasn't. Then you'd have a question.
Why is monetary has a certain value? And
no, when we say that the din is chozer, that means the dayan doesn't have to pay anything because he just reversed and undid the whole outcome. Right. In other words, there's three possibilities. The dayan, or there's two possibilities. You could say masha asa asli. That means you can't come back and say, I overturned my first decision. Right. It means what was done is done. That's it. If I said that the Yonah gets the $500, masha asa asli. There's no way to give it back to Avi. But now there's a second question. Since I messed up and I cost him $500, am I chayev to pay or am I not chayev to pay? You understand? There's two separate things. But if the din is chozer, then of course I don't have to pay because there's no damage. Chozer means you undo the damage. So now the Gemara says, how could you say by the case of the para that it's possible to be chozer? The damage is done in a permanent way. Right? You reverse everything. You put everything. In other words, when we say the din is chozer, it means to put everything back to the way it initially was. But how's that possible if the dog has already ate the cow? That's the Gemara's question. Okay. So he says like this. He says Hochi k'omarle, right? Rashi Hochi k'omarle Rav Hamnuna. This is what Rav Hamnuna meant. It's very rare you have a case like this in the Gemara, where the Amorayim asked a question and then you have later Amorayim have to interpret what their question was in the first place. But here it is. So this is what Rav Hamnuna meant. E, Omrit Bishlamo Ta'a B'dvar Mishnah Eino Chozer. So he says, let's assume Ta'a B'dvar Mishnah is not Chozer. Then it makes sense what Rabbi Akiva said, that you are Pater because you are Mumcha LeBeisdin. Alma kom dina. I'm sorry, I spoke too soon. So therefore, the din stands. Right? Rabbi Tarfon said, trefa, the din is standing. Nobody can come along and be mata that din. Let's assume Ta'a B'dvar Mishnah is eino chozer. So Rabbi Tarfon said, the animal's a trefa, and nobody can come and undo that din. So then, hainu dekom mafchid Rabbi Tarfon. That's why Rabbi Tarfon was worried. Right, he was worried because he knew. In other words, we're trying to look for why was Rabbi Tarfon worried? Why did he think he was going to lose his chamor? Right. So let's assume Ta'a B'dvar Mishnah. At this point, we have to assume Rabbi Tarfon knew he was a Ta'a B'dvar Mishnah. Right. So why was he worried that he's going to lose his donkey? Because he thought, if Ta'a B'dvar Mishnah is Eino Chozer, so then it makes sense why he's worried. And then Rabbi Akiva said, don't worry, you're a mumcha lebeistin, and you're potter milashalim. Okay? Rashi, alma kom dine. Kloma, ma shehora hora. Whatever you paskind, you paskind. Vinami isa come on, and Rabbi Akiva is saying, and even if it would come to us, lo hadra miskasha, we could not turn around and make a kasha. If you assume Tor b'dvar mishnah is eino chozer.
How do you know which way it goes?
So that's what he's trying to work it out. Saying, let's make the story make sense. Let's assume one premise. I'll show you if you assume one premise, the story makes sense. And if you assume another premise, the story does not make sense. That's Rav Hamnuna's question. So he said, look, if I assume the premise of the Torah B'dvar Mishnah is Eino Chozer, then the story makes sense. Because Rabbi Tarfon was worried. He knew that the din was fixed. And he's worried that he's going to lose his chamor. And Rabbi Kiva said, don't worry. Okay, but e omrat ella e omrat tovivah mishnah chozer. We still haven't answered the problem, right? But if you're going to tell me that the tovivah mishnah is chozer, then what? Lema le, let Rabbi Tarfon say like this. Kevan de ilu havoi para. Well, I guess Rabbi Kiva said, let Rabbi Kiva say like this. Since if the para was alive, dinach lav din, then we could have changed the psak. Velo klomo vadata, and nothing would have been done. Now, as Rabbi Akiva is saying like this, this is Rabbi Akiva's question. Let's assume to'o bidvar mishnah is chozer, right? So what does that mean? It means like this. If Rabbi Tarfon said the cow is a trefa, and then they took the cow to Rabbi Akiva could say, you're a to'o bidvar mishnah, I'm going to proclaim the cow to be kosher. Right. So did you do anything, Rabbi Tarfon? No, it turns out you didn't do anything. Right? You didn't do anything. Because we just reversed it. Hashtanami, but now that the cow is dead, lo klomavadta, you still did nothing. Why, Rashi? Di'ihu hu de'afshid anafshe she'ishlicha lekalavim. Because it was the guy's fault that he fed the cow to the dogs. Va'adlo efsad talemidi, you didn't do anything. B'mai deposakta Allah, shame trefus. When you proclaim that cow a trefa, you didn't do anything permanent. Whatever you did could have been undone, right? Da'i bo'es mahadar hadarta, because you always had the ability to change your mind, because you were a tarbid by Mishnah. He took the cow and fed it to the dogs, so it's his fault that it can't be undone.
That's crazy.
Right. So this is all Rav Hamnuna's question, right? Now we finally have Rav Hamnuna's question. So what's the question again? He's saying like this. If a Ta'a B'dvar Mishnah is Eino Chozer, so then that means Rabbi Tarfon's Psak locked the shame trefa into the cow. Now the cow is permanently a trefa. So the fact that the Baal Din feeds it to the animals, who really caused the loss? Rabbi Tarfon caused the loss. So then it makes sense that Rabbi Tarfon is worried that he's going to have to pay. But if Tov Dvar Mishnah is Chozer, so then it means that Rabbi Tarfon's statement didn't really deem the cow a loss. Didn't really, fate the cow as a loss. The cow could have been saved. Rabbi Tarfon would have... changed his mind. So then who's really the cause of the loss of the cow? The guy who took away the opportunity for retirement to change his mind. Who is that? The guy who fed it to the dogs. So if Rabbi Tarfon could change his mind, why would he be worried that he would have to pay? That's Rav Hamnuna's question. Now you might say it's not fair. But at most, it would be called bad advice and a grumma.
Really?
That's the way this Gemara seems to be learning. Let's say I give you bad advice.
That's not bad advice.
Let's say I give you bad advice. I give you, it was a bad psak. But as long as it can be undone, he's saying, then when we trace back, let's say we trace back, who removed this cow from the possibility of being used? It was the guy who fed it to the dog. Why did he do that? All right, he was misled by Rabbi Tarfon. But misleading somebody is a grama. It's not a cause of nezek. That's the way Rav Hamnuna is. So what's Rav Chista's answer? Hold on one second. So the Gemara, so now the Gemara's answer was, it was chadav od. It was Chadavod. That has it work now? That he told him, you're right. You would have been putter anyway. But even if it was a Shikol Hadas mistake that you could not undo, you still would be putter because you're a Mumchul Basin. But basically, basically, what do we get out of this? We get out of this a very, very important rule at this point. And that is that this is our first time we've come across a case where the din says it could be chozer, but because of a practical reason, it can't be chozer. And then we say that the responsibility of the dayan for paying really has to do with his psak being final and being the true cause of the loss. Okay.
So what's the case of that?
So that would be if you made a mistake in shikul hadas. Let's say you made a mistake in shikul hadas and you paskin that the cow is a trefa. So apparently the Gemara is saying nobody could undo that psak. That psak would stick. And then Rabbi Tarfon would be responsible for removing this guy's the behemoth. Oh, so in other words, we have to look for a direct cause between what he said and the loss of the cow.
Yeah. And there was no direct cause. He didn't.
So he's saying it's only when his psak is permanent, then you can say his words are responsible for the cow's death in a direct way, like a dagger. Okay, but if what he said he could have undone, then this guy maybe was not his fault that he listened to Rabbi Tarfon right away, but Rabbi Tarfon's psak was not the direct cause of his loss. There was an intermediate stage, because just from Rabbi Tarfon's words alone, it could have still been saved. He could have come, Rabbi Tarfon could have come back and said, I changed my mind.
Even if he
was saying yesterday that really, right, so just to reiterate, now as according to this whole way of learning, the proclamation of the dayan has a halachic reality. And that has the status of din. Even if it's a mistake, it has the status of din. That's why shikul hadas is still is eino chozer. It still has the status of din. The only reason why Torah B'Van Mishnah is chozer is because we say that there's a certain degree of mistake where we can we'll say the dayan was not operating properly as a dayan to begin with. That was he was sort of what they say he phoned it in. You know what I mean? He was absent. He was absent on the job. So that was but the point we're trying to make from were you here yesterday? Right. No, is saying that by the that it has to do with the statement of the dayan, and if we can undo his somewhat his validity of his holding court, then we'll say he can be chozer. Okay, it's a good point. So just to put it together, what's the machlokas between Rav Sheshes and the last shita of Rav Nachman and Rav Yosef? So the way we define Rav Nachman and Rav Yosef was we said that at least Rav Nachman, right? That it's a question of the original. That there's a certain validity to the original din, and the only way to be chozer is to be able to render the original din as a mistake, right? But you need somebody greater to undermine the validity of the first court, right? That was the way we had it initially. In other words, you really can, there is such a thing as undoing a valid din. But it has to be done by a higher authority than the original, right? The original, that's actually Rav Nachman, right? Rav Yosef held even the original guy can do it as long as he's a mumcha. But basically, it was an idea that there is an original din, but even an original din is subject to revocation if it can be undermined by a higher authority. But Rav Shesha says that's not necessary. Rav Shesha has a different idea. He says that's not true. Din is din, and it's stuck. The only way to be chozer is to say initially it wasn't a good process of din to begin with. Now, that's the machlokas between the first way of looking at it and Rav Sheshes' way of looking at it. The first way of looking at it was that din itself is really subject to some sort of a revocation. The second way is saying, no, once there is the shame din, it is fixed. The only way to undo it is sort of like to annul it from the beginning.
And you can't say you're annulling it from the beginning because
So the only way.
Shikol Hadas was a problem.
Right, because Shikol Hadas is still din. Shikol Hadas is still a process of din. So as long as there was some process of din that went on in the first place, then what you said has the status of din. That's it. But Torah B'dvar Mishnah says, look, it was a fact that you missed, and it was a basic thing that you messed up on. So really, your proceedings were bad. From your original proceedings were not a proper proceeding. Well, in American law, it's sort of like in American law, it's the difference between getting a divorce and getting an annulment, right? A divorce means the marriage was good and you try to break it, right? So that the Christians don't believe in, or the Catholics, I should say, they don't believe in divorce, right? Unless you're, so if you're a Kennedy, you have to get an annulment. What does that mean? It means it was never l'chatchila anything. But l'mafreya, it was never anything. But I'm saying it's somewhat like that over here. That Rav Sheshes is learning, din is din. Masha asa asa. As long as it has the shame din. That depends that the basic process was done with the gavra of din. But if it's a certain degree of tos, then that undermines the whole process. And now we say, it's like Rashi says, it's eino din legamri. Dino eino din legamri. Ein dino din legamri. Not that it was a din, it was eino din legamri. Okay, so anyway, so what I'm saying is what we're adding to our arsenal now is what? One more case. The case where the guy makes a mistake. The din is it should be chozer, but for some reason it can't be chozer. And there are many cases like this. It could be like this. I could say that I told Yona he owes Avi $500, right? And then Avi disappears. No one can find him.
What if he spends the money? Is that considered, does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter.
Could be different $500?
$500. And then he's gone. We'll never see him again. So now, same kind of a question. I might say in theory the din is chozer, but what do you do now? Right, so this Gemara is saying that if the din is that the liability of the dayan is not because he's some cause of the loss, it's because his din was the loss. Okay, so as long as it can be chozer, you can't say that his din was the loss itself. Now the fact that practically you can't get back the money, that doesn't matter. That's just a grama. Yeah. Okay, so let's take up one more case. Let's take up the final answer over here. Okay, so this is the third answer. All trying to work out the same question of when the din is chozer, why this Mishnah says the din is chozer, and the case in Bechor says that the din is masha asasai. Right, so the first one was, it's a hedyot versus a mumcha. Or it's a has to be a mumcha with someone who's higher than him. That was the first approach, to undo the original din. To negate the original, to overturn the original din. Rav Sheshes has a different idea that you can't overturn, but you can sort of undermine its credibility from the beginning. But Rav Chista has a new idea. He says like this. Rav Chista Omar, now Rashi says, Mahader le'el l'shinuye masnisa donas adin. Rav Chista is now going back to the original question. He's not commenting on Rav Sheshes or Rav Humna. He's going back to the original question. Ready? Rav Chista Omar. Kan she not of a nosan biyad. Kan she lo not of a nosan biyad. Okay, so what does it mean? It means like this. Nosa v'nosan biyad. What does that mean? It means that Avi and Yona come to me about the $500. And I say, Yona owes Avi $500. But I do something really stupid after that. What do? I take $500 from Yona and I give it to Avi.
Physically.
That's Nosa v'notal v'noson biyad. Then Masha Asa Asoi. But that's the Mishnah in Bechoros. Hold on. But kan shelo not of nosan biyad, ela tziva labaldin, But if I just say, Yona, fork over $500, v'hu osa me atzmo, that's already a little bit, right? And he does it by himself, from himself. Machzir ha-mamon, mizeh she-kiblo, lezeh she-nosno. So then I can make Avi return it. Okay, so Yona's suggesting something that seems plausible at first, and that is that what? That if I tell him to give him the money, so then that's a grumma. Okay, but what does grumma address? Hold on, what does grumma address?
It addresses that he's not...
Whether I'm chayav to pay or not, right? That's what grumma addresses. My liability. But what are we really talking about?
Whether it was a good transaction.
Whether the din is chozer.
Right. So
it comes out to a funny kind of a thing. For some reason, right, if I tell you to give him the $500, then I can force him to give it back to you. Okay? That's what Rashi says.
Why isn't that the same problem? I directly caused him the loss.
But here's the problem.
Technically you could return.
Exactly.
You can do it. So you can technically tell the guy to give you back the money also, but it didn't come because I gave it to him.
So that's the problem. That's what's difficult about this answer. For some reason, if I take the $500 and I give it to him, then Masha Asa Asli.
Is it the fact that
in both cases it's your direct cause? But what happens in a regular case?
You're looking at the end result.
In other words, the question is, what's the difference if the guy willingly accepts the judgment? Why is that chozer? Whereas if the dayan pays him, forces the money, takes the money from hand to hand, then the din is fixed. Even if the guy, mayor is saying, even if the guy refuses to comply with the din, eventually the beis din will force the payment. So what's the difference? What's the difference if he's in the position where he says, I'm not going to wait for them to force, I'll just pay it myself, as opposed to where they force it? And also, what does this have to do with, I can understand, like Yono's intuition is correct, that this sounds more like an issue of, is the dayan liable? As opposed to the question of, is the din fixed? Right? Why does it matter whether he takes it, and why is that a factor in the question of whether the din is fixed? It should be a factor in the question of, am I liable? Was it a grama or did I do it myself? Right? But let's just go through some of the technical questions the Gemara has. The Gemara has some fascinating technical questions here. Okay? Let's take a look. Let's get a little bit into it. Okay, so the Gemara is like this. The Gemara says, Bishlama. Chayev es hazakai. Now you have to have a little bit of familiarity with the Mishnah. So what did the Mishnah say?
The Mishnah
on Lama Beis Amud Aleph. A little more familiarity than that. Lama Beis Amud Aleph, it says, Dine Mominus Machzirin. It's like 10 lines down. Right? Bein lezechus, bein lechova. So what does it mean to be Machzir lezechus? Tell me practically what does that mean. Right. So the original din was, you owe him the money. I can undo that. But I can also undo lechova. What does that mean? The original din was,
you don't owe
him the money.
Is that the opposite?
Huh? To be machzir lechova.
To be machzir lechova.
Right. And the original din was a zechus, and I want to be machzir lechova. So zechus means... Right? Okay. So now the Gemara says like this. Bishlama chayev es hazakai kigon shenotal. Oh, I'm sorry. My mistake. We're talking about the Bryce, the Mishnah on the top. Right? The one of don es adin, zika es hachayev, chayev es hazakai. Right? Masha asa asa. We want to do the ones that it's fixed, not the ones that it's undoable. The Gemara is analyzing the cases where it's fixed. So it says there's two cases where it's fixed. There's two cases of Masha Asa Asli. What are the two cases? Where I said you're liable when you're not liable, and I said you're putter when you're really chayev. Okay? And we're saying it's fixed when? When is the din fixed? What's the factor that makes the din masha asa asoi? If what? If you move the money. Okay? So now the Gemara says, that makes sense if you're going to say, I said you're chayev and you're not chayev. So then, kigon shenot of anosim biyad. So then look, I said Yonah owes the $500. So I go and I take the 500 and I give it to Avi. So that's not over nosam biyad. That's masha asa asoi, because I did it with my hand. Right? But what if I say Yonah doesn't owe the money? How could that be fixed? How could that be fixed? I didn't. What? I didn't do anything. I didn't do any maisa. That's the Gemara's question, Rav Chista. You're telling me it goes by whether the Dayan intervened or whether it was just his psak. And when he intervenes to carry out his psak, that's when Masha Asa Asai. That's good when the psak is to give money. But what about when the psak is not to give money?
That makes the question strong.
It's not Chozer. Right, in other words, because there are two Mishnayos, and our Mishnah says the din is not Chozer, and this Mishnah says the din... I'm sorry, our Mishnah says the din is Chozer, and this Mishnah says the din is not Chozer. So we're saying, what's the difference? The difference is, when the Dayan just gives the psak and they follow it willingly, then it's Chozer. But when he gives the psak and he enforces it, then it's not Chozer. But how could you...
say it's not Chozer when you say...
Yeah, how could you say that? So where's the... There have to be two cases where you say the guy's putter. One where it is Chozer and one where it's not Chozer. But there's nothing to do when you say the guy is putter. So you can't say it depends on what he does. There's nothing to do. Ukmi Masha Asa Asai. So Rash says, if you say he's Chayav, then it's easy to say that Masha Asa Asai. Why? Shinoto min azakai mamash miyad. Miyado. Shelo kedin v'nosam l'toveya. So Rashi opens up a little bit. So it means I physically took money, shalokidin, and I gave it to the claimant. Elazika sachayev, al korchlo shayachai lishna, elabimizaka esanitba, shehoyachayev lishalim, vamalo potter. What's the case of zika esachayev? What does it mean to be mizaka, the one who's chayev? It can only mean one thing. That the claimant, I'm sorry, the, what do they call him? The defendant, right? I say to the defendant, you're potter. You don't have to give what the plaintiff is asking from you, right? That's what zakai means.
Wait, you don't have to what?
You don't have to give what the plaintiff is asking from you. That's what it means. When I say zik, when I'm a zakai the chayav, it means to say, yeah, the plaintiff is suing the defendant.
Right.
And the judge says to the defendant, you don't have to give what he wants from you. Keep your stuff. Right? That's Zika Zachayev. So then, but if that's the case, halo not over nosam biyad. So the Gemara says no. Kevan de Omar Potter Ata Kimo Shen not over nosam biyad dami. Vizehoya muchsak ikvuhu al piv. Kimo Shen nosam biyad dami. The Gemara says, it's the same thing. As long as this guy was able to hold on to his stuff because of what he said, because of what the Dayan said, that's like...
But now it sounds like it doesn't matter whether he touches it or not. Like, so the whole...
But one second, but then you have a bigger problem too. Ela masnis in dekatani dine momenes machzir and bein lezuchus bein lechova. How is the Mishnah going to work out? Right? All right, we'll continue this tomorrow. That was right. That's an entry into thinking about the problem, because now it comes out that it's not that the Dayan has to physically do something necessarily, because when he says you're potter, the Gemara says that's equivalent to nosav and nosam biyad.
A little bit like Roma.
That's equivalent.
So how come when he says he's chayav and he didn't give it over?
Right. I mean, it's very hard to understand this answer though. It just sounds like it's undoing the whole theory from before. Because they're enacting the din on their own, right? They are enacting the din on their own. So what's the difference if he's enacting the din on his own to keep what was his, or if he's enacting the din to give what the guy says he owes? Yeah.
Maybe what you're saying, one is willing, one is unwilling. Like in order.
Put it this way. Let's put it this way. What do they both have in common?
Which both?
the case where the Dayan takes the $500 and gives it,
right?
Or where his psak is, you can keep your stuff.
Well, he's making the psak.
Right, he's making the psak in both cases. But that would also be the same where he says you have to give the $500 and the guy gives it willingly.
We're saying it doesn't matter, right?
No. We're saying now that when he says you're chayav to pay,
right,
then it's only masha asa if he does it himself. If the dayan comes in and gives the $500,
but if the keeping guy the money, he doesn't. Right.
There's like a finality goal, so it's directly from the dayan.
So
let me just throw this out as a possibility. It's not a svara. It's just an observation. Okay, to try to equate them on some plane. Okay. Who was the last involved party in the case? Who was the last active party in the case? So when the Dayan says you're chayev to pay, so if he gives the money biyad, then he's the last active party. If the guy gives it me'atzmo, then the guy himself is the last active party. But when he says you can keep your stuff, effectively he's the last active participant. So when the Dayan is the last active guy, then it seems masha asa asa. But he doesn't have to do an action necessarily. Huh?
I didn't know how to think like that.